Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Para Women Radio. No silly girl talk about makeup or clothes. No, these dark darlings talk about the bizarre, the strange, and the supernatural with other extraordinary women in the paranormal. Join our chat moderated by Shannon Overland. And now, here they are, Amy Williamson and Beverly Van Pelt, the Gothic Gourmet.
Hello everyone, welcome to Para Woman Radio, Woman Scream Radio. Actually, it is the Thursday before Halloween 2009. I'm Amy and I'm back on the show. For those of you that have been listening, I've been gone for quite a while. It's been a full month. I was busy at the Sock Theater directing Dial M for Murder. Beverly Van Pelt is ill tonight. I think she has the stomach flu. And Shannon Overland, it's her birthday. So let's all wish Beverly a speedy recovery and Shannon Overland a happy birthday. And I'm glad to be back. I had a whirlwind of a October and September. My show, Dial M for Murder, it was my first directing debut, and I have to say that I believe it went smashingly. I was excited. I remember sitting out in the audience the night before we opened, and the set was amazing. I've put pictures up on my Facebook, and I'm going to put them up in my MySpace, and I remember sitting there looking at the set. It actually looks like a real apartment when you will see the pictures. And it was a warm yellow glow. It had a warm yellow glow to it. And I looked at it, and I just felt warm inside. And I felt this feeling that I still cannot quite put my finger on. I felt different. I felt like there had been a shift that happened to me. I described it once on a blog as feeling more adult. I felt more... my inner vision had been created outwardly, and it was on that stage that night. And then the show opened, and it was exciting and amazing. And I remember sitting up in the booth for most of the shows. The first few shows I sat down in the audience, and I remember sitting up in the booth and looking down and just watching it each time, and thinking that I just cannot believe that this is 2 months worth of work right here on this stage. And then Sunday came and it closed and we had to tear down the set. And it was a little bit sad, but it was a bittersweet because I've gotten my freedom back. But I am planning for next year, and I plan on directing Dracula. And so it's going to be good next year. I'm getting ready for the second annual Victorian Haunting Experience. I was stuffing goodie bags just before the show started, and I was baking brownies. And much to my dismay, I kind of let them go a little bit too long because I was down in the basement digging out Halloween decorations to take with me, and so I'm going to have to cut the corners off, and nobody will know the difference. But, yes, I'm getting ready for the second annual Victorian Haunting Experience. We have a nice crowd. We're still selling tickets. I'm offering a discount because I want to fill the joint up. I want to pack it to capacity. We're nearing it, and if you want to attend partake in the specials, all you have to do is go to www.amywilliamson.net, and you can partake in the Victorian Haunting Experience specials. It will go up to the regular price if we do not sell out tomorrow at the door, which I've kept the limit under capacity so that if we do have people that show up, I can easily seat everyone who arrives. And so I don't want to turn anyone away at the door. But if you want to get a good price now, it would behoove you to go and buy them online because they are fantastic deals. Tonight, we have a fantastic guest. She's one of my favorite women in the whole wide world. And her name is Jolynn Valerie. She's been on Parawoman Radio before. Actually, I think it's been like 3 or 4 times before, maybe 3 times. I've had her on for all of the seasons, and now we're repeating the seasons. But what better person to have on any time, but especially during Halloween season, because Halloween, as everyone knows, is only 2 days away. And Jolynn Valerie has just completed her first book, and she's an author. She's the former editor-in-chief of both a holistic and metaphysical publication, and has both co-hosted a television show and reviewed books professionally. She is a spiritual woman who does not do anything unless she can do it well, and she usually does it in heels. So please join me in welcoming Jolynn Valerie on the Parawoman Scream Radio. Hello, Jolynn. I'm Amy. Well, as you know.
Amy, hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
It is so good to hear your voice. I don't know. I'm doing awesome, by the way. I don't know if you're following in the chat room. I assume you are. But I just have to tell you, you have got one of the most professional voices. I just love your voice. You are made for broadcast, girl.
Well, thank you. And you have a fantastic voice as well. And you are made for authoring because, is that a word, authoring? To be an author. You're made to be an author. How's that? When I went to your website because I was getting the name of the book, by the way, the book is, I always forget it because it's a rather long title. It's A Tale for All Seasons. Help me out, Jolynn.
You can leave it at that.
Tale for All Seasons.
You can leave it at that. That's cool.
Magical Stories of the Soul and Heart, or Heart and Soul.
Yeah.
Oh, really, what is it?
It's A Tale for All Seasons, Magical Stories for Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul, that's right. Yeah. And I went to your
website.
You could what?
No, I couldn't keep it simple. I tried, but I was not able to keep it simple.
Oh. Well, when I went to your website, every time I look at the book, I'm like just in awe of it because it's just so beautiful. The picture on it is just strikingly amazing. And plus, I love cardinals, and there's a cardinal on it. And for those that haven't seen the book, it's just the top part has a garden of flowers with birds and butterflies, and then there's this just beautiful cardinal on it. And I'm just always in awe of the book, the cover. And I had the opportunity to actually read a story from the book, and I chose the autumn story. And I was thinking the other day, and I think about this, and I think, I wonder how Jack's doing. I wonder what he's doing for Halloween. I wonder what Natalia's doing, you know, because they're so they were so real that the characters just jumped off of the page, and they seemed like true-life characters. Were they?
That is so awesome to hear you say. That is amazing to hear you. You know what? That is what every author in the world wants people to feel about their characters, you know, like they're real people, and as though readers can really get into the story. I'm sorry to tell you that Jack and Natalia are not real individuals. they were born in my imagination. However, I will tell you this. They really did take on a life of their own while I was writing their story. And sometimes that happens, you know, with characters. And I'll tell you what, these two kids in particular, and I say kids, but, you know, they're 17 years old. They meet in high school. And those two characters, man, they just would literally wake me up in the middle of the night, and there was something else that I needed to write onto Jack's story, or there was something else that I needed to add on for Natalia. And, you know, you read the story, so you know Natalia, she is she's a bit of a spitfire, and that's putting it nicely, You know, this girl has got spunk from tip to tail. So she really, that character really worked on me to make her even more spunky. And because it was my debut book, I felt like I had to kind of keep it appropriate. But Natalia, man, she wanted to be real spicy. So, yeah, she got a lot of spunk.
She was spunky, and she is spunky. And she's actually what every teenager, I think, aspires to be, although when you're young, you know, you long to fit in and you want to be a part of the crowd. And but Natalia stands out, and she doesn't mind being on her own and carving her own path, and that's what I loved about her. And she helped Jack do the same. And
he needed somebody, you know, for people who don't have the book or who are not familiar with the story. There's a really great book trailer. My production director Michelle Natty of Plus Media created a beautiful book trailer specifically about Jack and Natalia's story. And the name of the story, by the way, is called Becoming Jack. So folks can go to my YouTube channel, which is just, you know, youtube.com, and then my name, JoLynn Valeri, and watch the book trailer. And that gives you a really good idea, kind of like a little snapshot of the story without any spoilers, of course. But there is also a prologue from Natalia's perspective written in the first person on my website. Now, for all the listeners who are not familiar with literary terms, let me say that in plain English. There's kind of like a pre-story written from Natalia's view up on my website. And it's just her basically saying, look, let me tell you about this kid, Jack, before you meet him in the story, because I was watching this dude for a long time before I met him, and here's what he really went through, and here's what his experience was, and this is why I took him under my wing. That's kind of cool. And that was definitely very inspired, because, like I said, this girl just had a lot to say. And I'm loving the fact that you're really liking those characters, Amy, because a lot of people have asked if I plan to write more about their story, and that's already in the works. Love those two.
I think that they begged to have more written about them because they were so intriguing, and their character was so full and rounded that people want to know more. They want to know what happened to them. You know, I mean, the story left off at a certain point, and so you could easily do a backstory or a forward story with those two, you know.
Right.
And Natalie, on her own, could have her own story.
I think so. You know, she's got a lot to say, and she's a pretty deep girl. I think if I were to run into her on the street, she would be the kind of girl who I would just find so intriguing, you know, because like you say, she is so independent. But, you know, another thing I really like about her is the way she stands up for Jack at school, you know,
and
the way she stands up to, quote, the popular kids who are really pretty snotty. And you're really bullying some other kids. And her whole perspective is, I got news for you. You are not better than anybody, and that's not going to work with me. So, I really love that. But the bigger message, from my perspective anyhow, is the author, I really wanted to send a message for kids who are being bullied or for kids who are kind of teetering about their own self-esteem. I think it's an inspirational story.
Especially for kids that don't walk the straight and narrow path, and by that I mean they just kind of march to their own tune. The kids that, for example, the woman who does my hair, her son is a skateboarder, and he wears the tight jeans with that are low with the, you know, the he's got the spiky haircut, and I mean the kids make fun of him, and it just shocked me because it just everywhere else in the world, you know, except in this area, that's pretty hip and cool. But you know, if you don't fit into a certain mold, then some kids will just pick on you relentlessly. Although,
right.
For Natalia, she doesn't accept it. She doesn't take it. And when you don't become a target, when you don't allow yourself to be a target, then there's nothing to shoot at, basically.
Right. You know, and the big thing about her, she's empowered. You know, and
mm-hmm.
she got the benefit of coming from a pretty good background. So, you know, she, even though she's an only child, she's very, and so was I, by the way, but she's very empowered. You know, she comes from professional parents who have, you know, let her know that it's okay to be who you are. And you don't have to try to fit into, you know, anybody's definition of what you should be. On the flip side, Jack comes from an incredibly broken family. I mean, this is a kid who, he just survived stuff that, you know, you don't want to see any kid ever have to go through any of the things he goes through. But the reality is, that's life.
Yeah.
You know, and there are kids right now tonight going through really, really hard stuff. So, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, my whole vibe with writing Jack and making it so raw, because I think it's pretty raw. You know, his
mm-hmm.
experience this kid has. I think it's pretty raw. My whole sense with creating such a raw experience for a little boy and a teenager is the fact that it happens in real life. But there's always hope. You know, you can always turn it around. You know, you can always take charge of your life. Any minute you decide to, you can say, you know what, I'm going to try to be different, or I'm going to try to reinvent my life, or take the reins, kind of thing. That was my whole vibe. I wanted to create inspirational characters.
And they're magical characters. The book does delve into the magical realm, and Natalia does have a mentor that is guiding her through that certain time of her life, and she I think there's the importance of having mentors in your life that will guide you on whatever path you want to take, spiritual path, I should say. And it's important to note that Natalia does have that mentor that is guiding her. And I love the setting that you placed for Halloween and just the beautiful, romantic, I could almost smell the leaves and I could see the jack-o'-lanterns, and just the imagery that you painted was amazing.
Thank you so much. Did I make it look easy?
Yes, you did.
A lot of sleepless nights creating those images, I'll tell you. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, and now you're taking it on the road. You've had some book signings recently, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's a really good description, taking it on the road. That's what you got to do, I found out. The minute you get a book out is you better hit the road and start promoting it. And, you know, for authors nowadays, there's also such a thing as hitting the social media thing, too, you know, hitting that button. So, and you know, you and I connect all the time. I have a pretty, prominent presence on the web, you know, and that is absolutely by design. You know, I'm on Twitter and MySpace and Facebook. But you also want to get out there and you want to connect with the folks who like your writing. And I love it. I love meeting readers, and I love talking about the book. But what I really love, and this might be a little hard for, you know, other authors to swallow, I've noticed, because not everybody has this idea, but that's okay. I'm cool with blazing my own trail, too. What I really like talking about when I go to do book events or book signings is how real paranormal experiences are woven into the stories. It is magical. And there are some real paranormal things that take place, the kind of things that happen in real life, you know? So that's awesome.
Yeah. So within your book, the paranormal, did you experience some of those paranormal experiences and you put them into the stories?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
You know that about me. You know. I grew up in a very, shall we say, active / liberal / open metaphysical environment, you know, and communicating with spirits was something we talked about openly, creating herbal blends for magic or for healing, you know, that was right along with your reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, literally that's how I grew up. So that was always a very, very much a part of my life. And I was raised knowing that's a real part of life. For a lot of folks, it's, ooh, this is cool, and it's like a fantasy, and we want to explore. But people like you and I, we know that spirits are real, and psychic ability is real, and lots of other paranormal things are real. So I know for a fact that there are a lot of people who have those kinds of experiences, too. Maybe there are people who want to believe, but mainstream society kind of, you know, poo-poos it a little bit. You know, it becomes kind of fantastical. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to write stories about ordinary people like me who have these paranormal experiences like me and a lot of other people I know. And in the doing, I'm going to show, you know what? It happens, and it's normal, and it's okay. That was definitely a goal.
That's a fantastic goal, and to put it in a context that people can relate to make it a normal person, not a warlock or a vampire or, you know, what have you, just having, you know, having a normal person living a normal life experiencing paranormal things. And I mean, that is something that everyone can relate to, I believe.
Absolutely.
I want to remind everyone that you have it tuned into Para Women Scream Radio, and we are talking to the very lovely JoLynn Valerie, who just released her first book, A Tale for All Seasons, Magical Stories for Heart and Soul. If you want to find her book or even gaze at it as we're speaking, you can just go to www.JoLynn, and that is with an E, Valerie.com. So that's JoLynnEValerie.com, JoLynnValerie.com. JoLynn, what I want to do is I want to take a short break. We're going to We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, I'd like to discuss what you have planned for Halloween this year, some things that our viewers, our listeners could possibly plan for themselves. And so I hope you'll stay with us, and we'll be right back right after this short break.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions
from all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings,
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/thewhitecrow for everyone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone.
Thank you.
I'm Victoria Tim, Miss Horror Fest, and I love Para Women Scream Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Para Women Scream Radio. I want to point out that the White Crow magazine did a fantastic write-up for the Victorian Haunting Experience, and we thank them so much for it. It's on page 5 of their magazine, and we got a full-page ad, and we are deeply and truly grateful for them, and I want to say thank you. We have Jolynn Valerie with us. She is an author, and she is also a pagan Wiccan. And she is here, and she's going to share with us what her plans for Halloween, or Samhain, as she probably calls it, and possibly some things that you, the listener, can do this Halloween.
Well, you know, this is one of my favorite holidays. And I think for a lot of people, Halloween just holds that mystique, you know. There's like a magic in the air. There's something about it. There's something about autumn. And you get that feeling. And it is absolutely because it is a really mystical, spiritual holiday. I just love Halloween. And, I do call it by the old Celtic name, which is Samhain. And it's definitely pronounced Samhain. Kind of like S-O-W-I-N. And there are some really great traditions that go along with this. A lot of them are actually practiced by people today, but they just don't know that these are ancient traditions. So it's interesting.
It is. I love watching the History Channel because it kind of breaks it down for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm actually typing in the chat room right now a little bit of Samhain. Just how to pronounce it. I heard somebody actually.
Yes, a lot of people call it Samhain. Samhain, I think.
Yeah. I was actually at a conference last weekend, Authors After Dark, and a lot of folks were saying Samhain, and you can see how it would be misunderstood because of the spelling, but it's according to the old Gaelic language, which is a Samhain. Or, I'm sorry, Celtic language, and it's pronounced Samhain.
So what will you do this Samhain?
Publicly or privately? Ha ha.
Ha
ha. Tomorrow night, the night before Halloween or Samhain, I actually have a book signing, which is great. And after my book signing, I have some of the women who are in my regular spiritual circle coming back to my house. And we like to do some of the traditional things that folks did, years and years ago on this holiday. One of the things we like to do is divination. We'll do psychic readings for each other. And that's a very, very old custom to do at Samhain. Maybe some of the listeners know why.
Well, let's see if any of the listeners in the chat room can answer that question. Well, the divination, I think, would be my guess, would be that the veil is thinner right now. It's easier to contact the other side. Also, it is the, that's my reason. That would be my reasoning.
Yeah, that's absolutely it.
Okay.
Our ancestors believed that the veil between the two worlds, the world of the living and the world of the dead, was thinner now than at any other time of the year. And that's actually true. And folks who are really sensitive to energy can feel it. You can just feel it in the air. And so they believed that with the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead being so thin, it would be easier to communicate with spirits and easier to receive psychic messages. And so that's where the custom comes from. And it's interesting because nowadays we just kind of think of Halloween and tarot readings and seances as, this is just part of what you do. But that's actually the reason why. That's where it came from, which I think is so cool. So cool.
I think it's so cool. And I agree with you, although I have heard from other people in the paranormal field that it seems like at all the solstices and equinoxes, it seems like the veil does thin somewhat, but I believe that during this time it thins the most.
I got to disagree with that, actually. And it's funny that, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but based on my knowledge and my training, and I have heard that said before. Some people believe that, you know, after vernal equinox, which is, you know, the first day of spring in March, that the veil becomes a little bit thinner. That's not what I was taught. That's not according to, you know, my research and my experience. Different things happen on the other solstices and equinoxes. And by the way, Samhain is not a solstice or an equinox. We already have the autumn equinox.
It's already
in September.
But
yeah,
I have noticed that I do get more paranormal cases during those the turning of the seasons. I really do.
Yeah, and I have an idea why. You know, I have an explanation, and you know, other people may agree. And again, this is based on my training and my research. Yeah. Different energies come into power, you know, at the solstices and the equinoxes, or the equinoxes rather. For example, I mentioned the spring equinox in March. This is a day of high fertility. This is when, you know, the light is increasing and we start having more daylight every day and things are going to start to bud now and the buds are going to become, you know, blossoms and leaves. And so a lot of fertility energy is swirling around. That's when elemental spirits are waking up. And with elemental spirits waking up and, you know, the earth and air and fire and water is starting to flow more again, things are thawing out and coming back to life, that's energy, you know, and there's going to be greater energies present and, you know, greater paranormal things taking place. And, you know, as we move toward the summer solstice, which is June 21st or 22nd, depending on, you know, where you live on the planet, that's a high day of, you know, very high power, and that's a fiery holiday, it's a solar holiday, and that is when, you know, the fae folk are in full force, and, you know, so that's another kind of energy entirely, and so you can kind of see where I'm going with this. The energies are different at all the different solstices and equinoxes, so yeah, there is most definitely greater and increased energy, but it's just a different kind of energy. Samhain is all about
that would make sense only because I believe that the paranormal feeds off of energy. It needs energy to manifest, and so if there's an increase or a blast of energy, then of course it would help the paranormal to manifest. I'm sorry, go ahead about Samhain, sorry.
No, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. With Samhain, you know, Halloween, however, it is most definitely all about ghosts and spirits and, you know, that kind of thing. And all of the legends and all the lore and the different, you know, pagan gods and goddesses who come into power at this time of the year, because let's face it, we are absolutely making our descent into the dark half of the year. And so, you know, the divine beings who come into power at this time of the year, you know, they have a different energy about them, but it's all about, you know, that darker, heavier energy. And by the way, dark doesn't necessarily mean evil. You know,
no.
Dark is, it just means devoid of light. So, you know, and interestingly too, not to veer too far off our path about Halloween, but during the dark half of the year, there's different things that people can engage in also, you know, spiritual work, you know, different things that we can be doing so that you align with that darker energy. So it's really awesome.
Well, the darker energy for me, the darkness just means that it actually all light is combined into the darkness, creating the darkness. So all light and all energy is within the darkness. So, I mean, I believe, and I don't want to offend any Christians, but I believe that they perpetuated a myth that the darkness, that this time of year, I know, like, some of the churches have banned Halloween, and they don't allow the trick-or-treating, and they don't allow this, and they don't allow that, because they feel like it's contributing to the darker paths. I just feel it's so unbalanced because when you turn your face away from the darkness and only want to look into the light, then you become unbalanced. And to really, you know, walk a balanced life, you have to have a foot in each realm.
You know, I definitely agree with you. You know, I agree with that because you and I have talked, you know, off the air. In the reality, too, and this is just an idea, you know, for listeners to contemplate, and you know, folks can turn this over in their mind and decide how they feel about it. But we all have light and dark within ourselves. You know, we all are capable of feeling, you know, strong love and compassion and gratitude. And we're all capable, every one of us is also capable of being angry, of, you know, feeling sorrow, you know, that kind of thing. So those are good, healthy examples of light and dark energy. Mm-hmm. And we all have that within us. You said the magic word. It's all about balance, you know, and accepting both aspects of yourself, the light and the dark, and just balancing it out. For me, from a spiritual perspective, the dark half of the year is really, it's kind of vital. You know, it's mm-hmm. really vital. This is when we are supposed to slow down. Kind of like you see all of nature, you know, stuff starts getting cold and the animals are retreating to their winter homes and, you know, the leaves fall off the trees and everything. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's a natural death that takes mm-hmm. place, you know, on the planet. And things quiet right down. You know, things just get real quiet and real serene. That's a mm-hmm. signal to us, too. You know, hey, people, it's time to quiet down, and you go ahead and become serene, too. And that's really vital from my perspective, anyhow, to being balanced. It's a time for us to slow down, go within, nurture ourselves, you know, take care of our mind, our body, and our spirit. Then, you know, when the wheel turns around and things start to liven up again and spring comes around, then it's time to wake up and, you know, do more. But when things slow down and get dark in nature, we're supposed to slow down right along with it.
You know, a funny thing about me is I don't enjoy summer at all. And that's actually my time where I kind of slow down and I don't really want to do too much because the heat, and I don't vibe with it. I do much better with the cooler seasons. I love fall. I don't mind winter. You know, I don't
that's
mind
the Scorpio thing, honey. I know very few, and you know, I mean, if there's any listener who's a Scorpio and you love the heat, please let me know. I know very few Scorpios who actually enjoy hot weather. And, you know, it's got everything to do with the Scorpio kind. We're not talking about astrology tonight, I know that. But just a little nugget, it's got everything to do with, you know, the Scorpion constitution. You know, Scorps tend to run hot. And, mm-hmm. you know, we tend to be very, you know how we are, you know, a little fiery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
even though it's a water sign, right?
No, it looks like an oxymoron. We're watery, but we're fiery.
Right, exactly. But you know what I'm talking about, you know, with that ambition, that strong will, and, you know, and so it makes sense when you really kind of open your mind up to it. Wait a minute. If that's the way these people are built, then they probably wouldn't feel comfortable in the heat because it might be too much heat. So, yeah, it's just the way it is.
So what are some things that our listeners can do to honor the Halloween, Samhain, if they were to, divination would be one way that I think would be a perfect way, but what would be, I know you don't like to give spells, but what would be a ritual someone could do to honor the day of Samhain? Or the evening of the night.
Well, no, listen, there are so many things that folks can do. You know, even if they're not very experienced, you know, you don't have to be Wiccan or pagan to do these basic things. A good old-fashioned jack-o'-lantern is really great. You know, talk about the ultimate way to honor an old custom. And let's not forget what it means. You know, when that veil between the worlds is really thin, your grandma can come visit, but other things tend to slip through as well. You know, and that's why you get a lot of negative stuff sometimes happening as well. You know, around Samhain. So those jack-o'-lanterns, the original idea behind them was to scare away, you know, somebody actually typed it in the chat room a little while ago, but to create those scary faces to ward off negative spirits. And that is something that, you know, I did one probably, I think it was almost 2 weeks ago, I turned my first jack-o'-lantern and I put a picture of it up on Facebook. But I do it with the intention of warding off negative spirits. And that's a powerful thing, too. You know, you can make a jack-o'-lantern, and it can be really cute and fun, but the minute you allow your mind to consider the intention that, you know, this is also for protection, I'm not going to allow any negative energies to come near my home tonight, then it takes on a whole other sheen to it. So that's something that anybody can do. You know, go ahead and get a pumpkin any size and carve your own jack-o'-lantern, you know, and explore with the faces. And so that's definitely something that anybody can do.
We had a jack-o'-lantern carving party a couple years ago, and that was so much fun. And we actually got the stencils and we put them on, and we carved the white ones and the orange ones and the green ones, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. And as a matter of fact, I've been carving them pretty regularly, and I'll probably do some more tonight. Another thing people can do is something that in our tradition of the craft, we call it the silent supper. And other traditions call it the dumb supper, D-U-M-B, and we call it the silent supper.
Uh-huh.
And what this is, it's a beautiful, beautiful way to remember and honor loved ones and friends who have passed on, you know, who've traveled beyond the veil. And the way you do it is whatever meal you're having on Samhain night, you put out an extra plate for them and you put some food on their plate. And, you know, if you're so inclined, if you're so motivated, you can also say a few words, speaking their name out loud and telling them that they are welcome in your home to come and enjoy, you know, a meal with you again. And
what do you do, Jolynn? What do you do with, okay, so you put the plate of food out. What do you do if the food is still there? Do you just put it in the woods, or where do you afterwards?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. All right. Can I answer that question in 1 second?
Yep.
Because I really want to get this in there. I've had students ask me over the years, you know, I've had folks tell me, this is a great tradition, and yes, it's rooted in history, and we love the idea because, you know, Aunt whomever loved this food, so I'm going to make that food tonight and put out a plate for her. I love it. But, come on, Aunt Ida can't eat the food. So, you know, what gives? Here's the idea. Spirits cannot consume physical food, but they can enjoy the essence of the food. You know, everything has energy to it.
Huh.
So they can enjoy the essence of it. But beyond that, and perhaps this is the more powerful aspect, it's the intention. You know, it's the honor that you give their memory. And it's the energy behind the act of remembering them. That's what holds the true power and the true meaning. And the tradition is that you're silent during the meal. And the belief behind being silent while you eat the meal, and in my house, we all sit around that table and we eat our food, and there is a plate of food out, you know, for loved ones who passed. We don't talk. You know, all you hear are forks on plates a little bit. And the idea behind the tradition of being silent during the meal is that, you know, these, and it can be pets too, but these loved ones, whether they were human or whether they were pets who've gone beyond the veil, they're now in a place of quiet because the grave is quiet. You know, it's silent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're silent in their memory. And it's a beautiful, very powerful tradition. I can tell you there have been many, many silent suppers at my house where, you know, you can just feel the energy in the room. You know, we sit down, we start eating that meal, particularly because the past couple of years I've been making my grandmother's favorite meal. Man, I want to tell you, I can feel, you know, her presence when we set out that plate of food. So it's a beautiful and very powerful tradition that everybody can do. And it's customary after, you know, the next day, after Samhain has passed, you know, what do you do with that plate of food?
Mm-hmm.
We like to take it outdoors and, okay, you know, give it back to the earth and just put it on the ground. And I have, you know, a bush right in my front yard that gets everything. It gets all my stuff, you know, all my libations. And, in that way, you know, it's kind of like nourishment for the earth. But also, there's a lot of animals out there right now who are scampering around for food, you know. So it's kind of like an offering for the wildlife also. You know, they're pretty desperate to hoard up all they can. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did with the goddess ritual, the milk and honey. I guess that was the first time that I had done something like that. I had given an offering, and I put it in a lilac, in lavender. I put it in lavender because I thought that would be soothing in a
mm-hmm.
lavender field. So I'm glad that you cleared that up. So I think that gave me chills. The fact that you're having a quiet supper and it's just clearing all the kind of like everyday nuisances and allowing that energy to come in and just be with you. That's very powerful.
It's a beautiful tradition. It really is. On the flip side of that, if there's anybody who wants to honor loved ones, and again, I just want to clarify, it can be relatives or friends or even pets, you know, pets. Another thing you can do is if you have photographs of them, you can set up what I call the ancestral altar. I'm going to type it real quick in the chat room so people...
Okay, as you're typing it, I'm going to let everyone know that if you want to visit Jolynn Valerie, you can do so by going to her website. That's at www.jolynnvalerie.com. And Jolynn is spelled a little bit differently. Her Lynn has an E on it, so it's Jolynne, Valerie, Valerie.com, and her book is A Tale for All Seasons, Magical Stories for Heart and Soul. Now, Jolynn, I know as you're typing that, is the book available at your website, Amazon, all those places, or where is it?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere, yay.
Everywhere right now.
And I know that you're doing some personal signings for the book. If they bought it from your website, then they get it autographed, or how do they do that?
Yeah, right now, if readers would like a signed copy, they have to go through my website. You know, that's
okay.
The only way I'm going to get the orders coming straight to me. And I'm happy to sign for them. If they would like to go through Amazon.com, it's up on Amazon, it's on BarnesandNoble.com, it's in Borders, or they can go to their bookstore.
Oh,
so
it's in Borders. Yay. That's nifty. So Jolynn typed in our chat room, and by the way, you're listening to Parawoman Scream Radio, and we do have a chat room, and if you would like to join us, it's hopping in here. We have quite a few people. Jolynn typed was speaking about ancestral altars, and she typed in photos of loved ones, candles of any color and size, crystals if you like the energy. And you're the bomb, too, as well, Jolynn.
I got that, huh?
So you would put a photo of a loved one. You could choose whatever candle color that you like, or would you choose the candle color that you feel the ancestor or the pet would like?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think it's a really good idea, too. I like to say for people who are not, you know, hardcore practitioners of the craft, there's no need to feel like you have to get fancy. You know, you can use whatever candle color you like or whatever you have on hand. However, having said that, I will tell you is that I usually use either white or black candles. As a matter of fact, I have, I'll take a picture of it after the show and I'll stick it up on Facebook. I have a really lovely, very small Samhain altar right now going with a black candle. And, you know, that's a little iffy for some people because a lot of people associate black with evil. When the reality is, you know, black is a color that absorbs energy. It's really good for absorbing negative energy. However, at Samhain, again, you know, it's the darker half of the year, and this is a heavier holiday. You know, it really is. It's a celebration, but it's a heavy one. We're talking about spirits, you know, and honoring loved ones who have passed. And so, you know, it's about honoring, you know, traveling into the void and into the great unknown. And so that's the reason I choose a black candle, because for me, that symbolizes going out into the unknown, you know, the void, the cosmos.
Well, I personally have done stocking up on black candles because this time of year it's so much easier to find black candles. I know I needed a black candle during the year. I think it was probably in the summertime. I couldn't find a black candle anywhere. I ended up paying $10 for a black candle. And right now they're just, like, all over the place, so I'm just, like, stocking up on my black candles.
I am too, and as a matter of fact, I want to tell you, this afternoon, I had my daughter with me. We were going to get candy to hand out to the trick-or-treaters, and I happened to find the most adorable little black candles in the shape of a cauldron.
Oh!
And they were only 99 cents each. Well, I bought them all. They only had six, and I said, I'm taking them. So I've got all those. And you'll see two of them in my picture. I'll take a picture of my little Samhain altar later. But, yeah, you know, a lot of people like to use that. I definitely always choose white also for the simple fact that white symbolizes the light. You know, when a spirit crosses over, we hope that they go into the light. So I do like to light a white candle on my ancestral altar. And, you know, that's kind of like, that symbolizes also how the light is a beacon to them. You know, they're leaving the earth, and that can be sad. You know, it is hard to cut your ties and to come to terms with the fact that, I'm talking as if I've experienced it, right? But it's hard to come to terms with the fact that I'm going to be leaving one life and going to another one that I'm not entirely sure I remember, you know, how this is going to go, but the light is a beacon for, you know, for spirit. So I choose a white candle as well, and I have those lit.
Now, Dolan, I love, and I guess I'm a Facebook person. I've moved from MySpace to Facebook, and so I do a lot of my socializing over on Facebook. But I love how you put out on each day, and it's not every day, but it's most days, you put out a very detailed description about what's going on astrologically, the candle that you should burn, the energies that are going on, perhaps a crystal or a stone that may benefit you. Sometimes you'll put out an affirmation or a chant. What inspires you to do that every day?
Well, I got to tell you, I have to admit, I'm not an astrologer. I'm really not. I know a little bit about astrology and a lot about medicine. And so what I do today is look at my ephemeris, which is a book that tells you where the planets are and what's going on. So I do understand that language. And every morning when I look at my ephemeris and I see, okay, the moon is in this sign, this planet is moving into that constellation, and I look at what the energies are for the day, you know, what the color of the day is, and I put all of that together with the season that we're in and the numerology of the date, and that's how I arrive at, you know, the things that I write. But I do every day, except for if I am incredibly busy, sick, or out of town. I try to get up a metaphysical update every day, and I've had such incredible feedback about those posts that I do. You know, I put little one-liners up on MySpace, and that I do a detailed note several times a week on Facebook. And people seem to really appreciate knowing what the energies are for any given day and how they can align. Because you know what? A lot of times, and I'm sure I know I've experienced it, maybe you have too, a lot of times you're feeling a certain way, whether it's really energized or really crappy. Mm-hmm. And you don't know why. And you're like, oh, I'm just getting moody again. But when you start following the energies, it's amazing to see how big an impact those have on your life. They do. So I found, for me anyhow, when I look ahead of time before I start my day at what the energies are going to be, then I can sort of plan for it. I know what to expect, and I know how to align myself with it so that I'm not swimming against the tide, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yesterday, there were quite a few people who are like, what is going on? It's not even, Mercury is not in retrograde. It's not a full moon. Why are people acting like this? And I remember it was Alexandria Holzer, and I copied and pasted what you had written, and I linked it to you, and I said, this is what's going on, and she gives a more detailed description if you're interested in reading more. And she was like, oh, well, okay, that makes perfect sense, because she was just like, ah. And I know yesterday was a day where, people, you said, hold on to your hats, because it was going to be a bumpy ride, and it was.
Definitely. But the cool thing about it is that it changes every day. Sometimes not every day. I have to correct myself. Sometimes things will stay where they are, things being the moon or different planets, for, more than just a 24-hour period. But usually there's some kind of shift that takes place every day because the universe is really intricate and there's always stuff moving and shifting and changing and going on. So it really helps me to just look up and see what's happening. Then I try to work with it so that I'm not swimming against it.
That's important. And Jillian, so if people want to find you, I've given us your website, but if they want to find you on the social websites, how would they do that?
I think it might be easier for me to type it into the chat room. And I will do that, but I know a lot of people are not in the chat. So really, just a Google of my name, and there's a couple pages worth of stuff, and you can find all my stuff. But Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, I think so. Oh, I'm also on Bitten by Books. It's called The Blood Bank, which is so cool. It's a site for paranormal authors and readers. So I'm also on the Blood Bank. And
it's
not hard to find me at all.
No, really it isn't. If you type in her name, but you just need to remember that Lynn is with an E, and it's two separate words, three separate words, Jo Lynn Valerie.
I'm typing it all in for everybody.
Typing it in. Woohoo! So, but the best place you can find her is on her website, which is www.jolynvalerie.com. It's a beautiful website. It has lovely music, and if music isn't your thing, you can turn the music off, which I really like that, because when I'm maybe doing an interview or something like that, I might want to turn it off, and I think that's an important option if you're going to put music on your website, to be able to turn it off. So
absolutely.
That was very friendly of you.
Well, it wasn't my idea. It was my web designer's idea. I have to give credit where credit is due. She's the one. If it was up to me, because I love that song, I probably would have said, leave it on. But my web designer, it was her idea. And, that's her job, is to come up with really positive ways that visitors can have a positive experience. So what's interesting about that artist in particular, Ryan Farish, I listened to his music almost the entire time I wrote my book, for whatever reason. And I am just amazed to find that a lot of authors do that. That's been, so amazing to me, to hear other authors say, yeah, I did that too with a, particular artist. But for my current book, it was Ryan Farish. all the time. And what's just wild is I'm working on my second book, and I'm listening to completely different music. So I think it's got to do with, like, the style of the music meshing with the style of the book. I don't know, but I think it's something like that.
Okay, so for those that want to find her on Facebook, you would just go to www.facebook.com/JolynValerie. Twitter is the same thing, www.twitter.com/JolynValerie. And guess what? MySpace is the same, www.myspace.com/JolynValerie. So there you go. Oh, and her blogspot is the same, www.JolynValerie.blogspot.com. So, Jolynn, thank you so much for being on. I think that you're fantastic, and your energy is amazing, and it's bright and spunky and informative and calming and soothing, and just I think you're an amazing person, and I feel blessed to know you.
Well, thank you. You know the feeling is mutual, you know.
Absolutely. I do know that.
Mutual. Yeah, and by the way, you know that this is my absolute favorite show to be on, and I think this is time number 4. Isn't that nuts? That's so crazy.
It is. But it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like it's, well, I don't know. I just feel like I've known you for a long time, so I guess it does feel like time number 4.
Yeah, right on.
Right on. So I hope you'll join us again. I know you will. And again, Jolynn Valerie, be sure to check out her book. Thank you so much, Jolynn, for joining us on Parawomen Scream Radio.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You have a great night. And to all the listeners and all the people in the chat room, thank you so much for listening. It has been just a joy.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jolynn. Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was the very lovely Jolynn Valerie. And please go check out her site and purchase her book, A Tale for All Seasons, Magical Stories for Heart and Soul, www.jolynnvalerie.com. We're going to go into some music, and when we come back, I, Amy Williamson, will have some final thoughts. So I thought maybe in honor of the upcoming Halloween that we would play some fantastic Halloween music. So how about if we go into Kristen Lawrence and Dark Glass?
The Tale of the White Dove. When the mistress of the big house lay dying, so the house slave said, she raised herself on her elbow and vowed that she would come back to her home. She would come back as a white dove to her husband and to the garden where they had been happy together. No white dove came to the garden for months nor for years. But on the day that the master carried a bride inside the pillared portal, the slaves heard a low grieving, and in the garden, hardly distinguishable against the white blossoms on the snowball bush, they saw the white dove. Every afternoon, after that, at exactly the same time, the bird appeared, uttering heartbroken moans. The slaves were frightened. They said that their first mistress had kept her word. The whole community became excited. People began peering over the garden wall to see the dove. The bride became tearful, the master exasperated. Finally, one afternoon, gun in hand, the master strode from his house in a towering rage. As he approached the snowball bush, the dove rose in the air, fluttered toward him. He raised his rifle and fired. A woman's scream sounded over the garden, and the dove flew away, a sudden crimson staining the whiteness of its breast. That night, as he lay in his bed, the master died. No one has ever known the cause of his death. The master was buried near the snowball bush. And though the house has fallen into ruins and the garden is overgrown with weeds, the gravestone still stands. When I last visited in Alabama, neighbors told me that each spring, when the snowball bush blooms, they can hear a dove moaning in the night. Then they remember this story. One of them says that he rode by the old house one moonlight night and saw on the topmost branch of the bush a white dove. Its breast, he swears, was stained blood red.
I'm gonna give you a good one. All right, ready?
This is Leah Savoy, and I love Para Women Scream Radio.
that was the organ music by Kristen Lawrence. Kristen is a musician who contacted us probably 3-4 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I'd say, but maybe four. And she said, I have some spooky Halloween music if you're interested. And we said, heck yeah. So I know Beverly's been playing it, and I had to play it on the day before Devil's Night on Pair Women Scream Radio. I remember growing up, Devil's Night. Oh, Devil's Night. I grew up in the Detroit area, and I don't know if this is true for all areas, but I do know that for the Detroit surrounding area, it was a time where you put your porch light on because there was so much activity that would go on outside of your house, i.e. TPing and throwing eggs at people's houses and cars. If you lived in Detroit, which we didn't, we lived in suburbs of Detroit. Detroit was a very dangerous time. Fires were set. You had to be careful of not going by windows because guns were shot off. So it was a very devilish time. I believe now it's kind of settled down around here where I live, and I still live in Michigan, but I live in a different part of Michigan. You don't have to turn on your porch light. You don't have to do any of that. And this year on Devil's Night, I will be in Dearborn, Michigan at the McFadden Ross Museum. I'm going to be investigating. We have a psychic coming in from the Boston Tea Room, and we're going to be reading our tea leaves. And what else are we going to be doing? Oh, there's going to be a period costume contest, and I have to admit that my costume probably dates back to the 1800 to 1825 era, which is just before the Victorian era. Nonetheless, I couldn't resist. I loved it. It has an empire waist, and it's red, and it's got a big collar on it, and I'm going to be a vampiress, and I'm so looking forward to dressing up this year. Every year I look forward to dressing up, and I have big thoughts and big ideas on what I want to be, and I actually found this costume online, I'd say probably like 3 months ago, and I've manifested it. It showed up in a store, and I grabbed it up, and I tried it on. I didn't know which size to go, and so I picked the right size, and it fits perfectly, and I'm very excited about it. I'll be wearing it actually for two nights on Devil's Night and Halloween. I'm so looking forward to Halloween. It's like my Christmas. I look forward to it every single year. I remember thinking months and months in advance what I was going to be for Halloween, and the energy, I vibed on it, and I actually learned when my birthday was, what date, as a small child, because it was 6 days after Halloween. So that's how I remembered when my birthday was. I don't know if everyone else had this experience, but when you were in kindergarten, you had to learn your birthday, you had to learn how to spell your name, you had to learn your street address, and that's how I learned my birthday. It was 6 days after Halloween. And then later in life, when I was in college, I dubbed my birthday Amy Ween, and I would celebrate my birthday from Halloween to the day of my birthday, which is November 6th. And so it was a six-day celebration, and maybe a bit narcissistic, but whatever. Amy Ween is my birthday, and it's because I love Halloween, and I think that's why I love the fall so much, is because my birthday is around Halloween. And in fact, a little known fact, I was supposed to be born on Devil's Night, but I wanted to wait an extra 7 days and come out on November 6th. And it is Shannon Overland's birthday, and she is a Scorpio as well. And I want to wish her a very happy, happy birthday. It's not really quite the welcome back that I had expected, because I had been gone for a month, but it was a fantastic welcome back in the sense that the chat room was full. it was well over capacity. I had to scroll to see who was in the chat room. We had a wonderful guest on, Jolynn Valerie, whom I adore, and she's very giving, and she's very loving, and she takes of herself and gives to others freely. And I hope that you will support her and that you will buy her book, because I meant every word of what I said about the story that I read from her book. It was truly enchanting and very realistic. And I just can't say enough about Jolynn Valerie. And Miss Beverly Van Pelt, our dear Beverly Van Pelt, she's a bit under the weather. Actually, she is a lot under the weather when she called me today. I knew there was something wrong. It's not I don't want to say her normal illness, because, as you know, she's been battling some stomach and some throat issues. This is an actual flu that she is enduring. So please send her some loving and healing vibes, because she is another one of those people who gives and loves freely and does what she can for others and stays upbeat and positive and is a leaning post for many. And I think right now she needs to lean on us. So let's let her do that. And I want to say openly and freely that I really adore Beverly Van Pelt. I love her. I love Jolynn Valerie, and I love Shannon Overland, and I adore doing this show, and I can't be more excited to be back. We have some guests planned. I'm scheduling, and I'm plotting and planning, and I know there was an issue with Z Budapest, and she was unable to call in, but next week we will have her on the air, and I'm going to be calling her and pulling her out on the line, and so we will be talking more witchy and tarot and magical things next week. So I hope that you will join us on Tarot Women Scream Radio. I'm going to go out with some more music, and I want to wish everyone a very, very happy Halloween. I love you all, and I am so thrilled to be back. And so tune in next week when we will have more Tarot Women Scream Radio.
I don't think the rain can wash this away. This wound is too deep to heal now. But don't worry about me, I'll paint on my smile. This world is too shallow to drown me. There is the moon hanging low. See that wonderful orange glow smiling. Where is the moon?
minding my own business, when I see a UFO slam right into a tree. Scared the pants off of me. There was so much debris. And the next thing I see is a little green man in front of me. He says, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jump. I say, he-bop-a-doodle-y-jump. He says, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-moobly-me-bop-a-moobly-mo. We moved and mowed for about an hour. When out of the clouds pops another UFO. I wouldn't know he had to go, but I hear him say as he flew away. Ah, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jang. I yell, he-bop-a-doodle-y-jump. He says, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jump. We moved for the most for about an hour, when out of the clouds popped another UFO. Wouldn't you know, he had to go, but I hear him say, as he flew away, ah, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jump, I yell, he-bop-a-doodle-y-jump, it says, crem-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-a-doodle-y-jump-bop-
Philip Keeler from Strange But True Radio in the UK. Alongside my team Joe and Steve Farmer, we'll have all the latest strange goings-on in the world, from UFOs to ghost sightings, from weird creatures to sci-fi becoming science fact. You can call into the show using our special numbers local for America, Australia and in the UK. Join Joe, Steve and myself Fridays 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. British Summer Time on the ParaX Radio Network. Download the show an hour later by going to strangebuttrueradio.com.
Strange but true.
You've been listening to Para Women Radio. So for Amy Williamson, Shannon Overland, and Beverly Van Pelt, join us next week as we talk to more extraordinary women in the paranormal.